was birthed quite a lot when we were in on our holiday in Sweden. I'd enjoy spending time with the Lord there, but I think this year more than any, I just felt like I could hardly not just keep hearing his voice, just be constantly in a state of receiving from him and having a conversation with him and just being continually in his presence. But also knowing that while we were there, we're not really there on holiday. We're there because we're carrying the kingdom of God with us to where we're going. And several events and family situations were there, some that I thought, well, Lord, are we meant to be praying for significant things to happen or whatever? And he says, well, just be there. There was a baby that was due to be born after we'd come home, and I really believed the baby would be born while we were there, and we'd need to be there. And the baby was born premature and was helicoptered down to another hospital, and the family were really worried about things, and we phoned back to just get people to pray. But I just knew us being there, taking authority in the name of God, was making a difference. And it did make a difference. And a few days later, Ginla was holding the little baby in her hands, and all is well. And that baby's development, we believe, will grow because we were there. And a sister-in-law has got lots of cancer in her body. You can actually see growths in her hands and all sorts of things. And they don't really know the Lord. I mean, they kind of know about God, you know, as you would if you'd nominally Christian, like we English people would say they were. And we hadn't seen Tony and Ingalil for a couple of years. We'd missed them. And I just thought, we've got to see them this year. We really, really must see them this year. And we arrive at the house, and this is a very un-Swedish kind of way. This is, you've got to understand, these are lumberjacks and tough guys. And Tony comes out and throws his arms around me and says, oh, my friend, Ian, it's good to see you. And I was just like, whoa. He is a warm guy, and I've always liked him. But it was just that sense that being there, we were making a difference. And the Lord's told us to do some follow-up actions and things we must do, visiting Mum in the care home. Her mind in a terrible distressed condition, and yet still finding a time in that where she says God is good, and being able to pray with her, and well, I don't know if we'll ever see her again, and that's hard to come away from that, but knowing that being there is bringing the kingdom of God to where we're at, and I've sensed that more and more so in recent days, even at work. Lots of things at work, you know, spending cuts and all this, threats of redundancy, and I know my job will be on the line in about 2 years' time, and, you know, that may or may not happen and things like that, but it will be reviewed in that kind of time frame. And the Lord telling me to make decisions that have got longer-term implications on, and saying, it's okay, just do this. Okay, Lord, I'll just do that. And when I made the decision, I was just overwhelmed with peace and just a sense of God's goodness and his leading in my life. Those are just by way of testimony, encouragement, and even the last couple of weeks at work, how I've been able to share with people, talk about the coming revival in Broadfield with people at work, and saying what's happened, sharing with a Muslim colleague and telling him about the persecuted church in Iran and places like that, and he found that strange and hard to believe as a Muslim, but there you go. That opened his eyes to things that happen, and it gave me a chance to share the gospel with him. And just opportunity and opportunity. And in my daily walk, doing things around, just hearing the voice of the Lord. You want to buy this? Go here. And suddenly where I went, it was 50 quid off. And go and find this here. And I was just doing things just like it was so easy. Just walking in the presence of God. And that's where we're meant to be. And that's where he wants us. Let's see if this works now. Here we go. Pinch this off somebody. Heard it, a preacher, so it's not mine. A song is not a song until it's sung. A bell is not a bell until it's rung. And love is nothing until it's given away. I like that. I'm full of music. You can tell, can't you? Just standing here, I'm just full of music. One day it'll come out. But actually, until it's sung, it's nothing, is it? And love is nothing until it's given away. And our Christian life must be expressed in action, but that action has got to come out of obedience to his word. Too often we find ourselves in action, and it's just action. It isn't necessarily what he has done. And there's a lot in James and Hebrews about this, and some of the scriptures just for you there. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. James 2, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. And a bit later in verse 26, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. And Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And that kind of captures everything I want to say today, in a sense. And I could leave it there, and I need to know how far the Lord wants to take me through all the pages of notes I've got. But we're here to please our Father. And pleasing him can only be done when we actually move in faith. But you can't just have faith in a vacuum, like the song doesn't exist until it's sung. It has to have an outworking. It has to have something that shows it. And that's what James is saying, that, you know, actually it's just dead. If there's no works, there's nothing there. But how do we get this faith then, Lord? How do we find this faith? And you've heard me quote this scripture again and again and again. And I hope you know it off by heart now. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. So we need to be in a place where we're hearing what God is saying to us so that we can actually do it. And if you don't put yourself in the place where you're listening and hearing and active, then all of the stuff that you do is worthless, because it's not pleasing to God, because it's not done in faith. In fact, what is not of faith is actually sin. So this is where my message was starting today. Hear and obey. In 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Obedience is the key thing that he's looking for in our lives. And you say, well, obedience, but obedience to what then? And the obedience is to his word. But it isn't just a kind of a diligence which is in a religious behavior. You'd say, well, if I'll just learn all the commandments and do all this, then that's what it's about, which is where a lot of people think they're finding some kind of peace with God. It's about an active living relationship of learning to be with him. One of the joys that I've had in the last few weeks, I've been praying about a reasonably significant decision for us, and toiling over it, and, oh, Lord, what's right, and should we do this, should we do that, and all this. And, you know, and the Lord in the end said to me, do you know, Ian, actually, the decision itself isn't really that important. But, you know, I just like you to do this and do it in faith. But he said, I really enjoyed the conversation. I've wanted to have that father and son conversation. I don't mind what we talk about. But let's talk. Understand how I feel about these things. You know, and I could have been so in fear of making a decision of, oh, will it be the wrong decision and all this sort of thing. He said, don't you think I'm bigger than that? If you get it wrong, then we'll sort it out. Don't fear it. Do it. And it just got me to this point of coming and said, Lord, well, I want to do it. I want to step out for you. I want to be the one that's obedient, because I want my life to be worship. Because it's clear from this verse that Samuel has written here that actually real worship is not the songs we sing. It's great to sing them, and they affirm our faith and they declare truth of God, but they in themselves are not worship. We call it worship, but it isn't worship. Worship is obedience. We could sing songs from now until the Lord comes back and have not actually been in worship. We could also be active in loads of work between now and when the Lord comes back and still not be doing his will. But if we listen to what he says and act upon it and practice that daily, constantly, all the time, we'll be in worship. Because the worship that they were bringing then, the Lord says, I'm not bothered about the sacrifices you bring. I'm more bothered about the obedience in your heart. It's not a song. Says John 4:24, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Thank you. See, you know these verses. You're getting them there now. Worship in truth. What is the truth? It's the word of God, the living and active word of God in our lives. God's heart is longing for true worship, because he knows that's where we will find true fulfillment. you will find the greatest joy, the greatest peace, the greatest gladness of your heart when you walk in obedience to the word of God. You will leap for joy, not because the music lifts you, but because the Spirit of God takes pleasure in you. He wants to sing over you with songs of joy. He wants to sing over you with songs of joy because you walk in obedience to what he does. And there's other verses in Hosea. I read all the minor prophets while we were in Sweden, as well as most of Matthew's gospel, and we did Revelation sort of stuff as well while we were there. And Hosea 6:6 says, "For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." Wow. Pretty powerful verse, isn't it? Little gems buried away in these minor prophets. It's part of the condition of our relationship. Romans 6:16. "Don't you know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey?" Right? You become a slave because you obey. "Either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness." So actually, there's a sense of obedience brings us into relationship. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew 12:50. "For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother, my sister and mother." The condition of our relationship as sons or daughters or whatever you feel you want to be in the kingdom of God, but in terms of declaring him to be our Father and to Jesus to be our brother and our Lord, then the condition is obedience to the will of the Father. And when Jesus talks about final judgment, as he does in Matthew 7:23, he says, "And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." I never knew you. There's a relationship that we are meant to live in. We're not trying to live a life of religious practice to earn favor with God. We're meant to be born into his family, to live in relationship with him. The battle place is incredibly and often in the mind. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. Though we walk in the flesh, that is the truth. That is the reality of our daily life. I still have a body. I have one life to live. It's the way I live it now. I am walking this life and I'm living in the flesh. But we don't war. We don't battle according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, that verse has been read and people have been shouting at demons and railing against the enemy, you know, saying the weapons of a warfare, I'm going to punch you on the nose, Satan, or whatever, you know, getting really angry at the devil. That's a dangerous place, I think, to be in. Here it's talking about what? Taking our thoughts captive. And we don't do that by gritting our teeth and practicing some kind of mental tricks. We do it by letting the truth and the word of God come in. And the word of God is a powerful weapon that pulls down the fortresses of the world, pulls down the old habit patterns of our life, tears down the things where the enemy wants us to get sucked into life of the flesh, and renews our mind. My favorite verse, you know where it is, don't you? Romans 12, verse 1. "Therefore, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect." I expect this to be word perfect with you lot before too long. It's one of my favorite verses. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here is the battle place. If you're struggling with this, this is where the battle goes on. If you're struggling to get obedience to the word of God and find out where it is in your life, this is where the battle's going on. That's why it says somewhere else in scripture, gird up the loins of your mind. I like that kind of, gird up the loins of your mind. But the battle is here in the mind. But the weapons of a warfare are not from the world, but they're from heaven. Far more powerful than anything that can be thrown up against you or by you. Jesus also learned obedience while he was in the flesh. In Hebrews 5, it says this: in the days of his flesh, in other words, when he lived on the earth, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, because he's already the Son of God, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Oh dear. Don't like those kind of verses. But the reality is, when we go through the battle against the flesh, we will find some kind of suffering. That suffering comes sometimes at an emotional cost, sometimes it is a physical cost, sometimes it is persecution from others. But there will be suffering. But in the suffering, if we listen to him and do what he asks, we will learn obedience and be pleasing to him. And if Jesus walked that walk, then where it is for us. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Hallelujah. Because he has walked the walk, he has gone before, he is the forerunner, the author and perfecter of our faith, we can look to him. And he will not fail us. Hallelujah. But we need to learn the walk of obedience. We need to learn to hear as Jesus heard. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me in the Father has eternal life. And does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Fantastic promise. A few verses later. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. It's about getting into relationship because of Jesus, following the pattern of his relationship, and coming to Father God in heaven. Jesus died and rose again, stole the keys of death and hell, shed his blood so that you could be washed and robed in righteousness to stand where? Before the throne of Father God. Hallelujah. Somebody believes me. Hallelujah, or believes the word of God. And Jesus himself, although he is and still is God himself, the Son of God, he did nothing unless he knew it was what the Father was doing. And that's confirmed again further in John's Gospel in John 6:40 and 8:28. I won't read those because time doesn't allow. And you say, well, how do I know that I'm hearing God? Oh, you know, get these problems, you know, because you hear about some nutter on the news who went and, you know, massacred a load of people because he said, because God told me to do it, you know. So we all fear and worry that we might, you know, hear God. Are we hearing God? And we worry about things like that. That wasn't the Lord. That was just an electric. Are we hearing God? The truth is, yes, you are. I had this wonderful conversation with a colleague at work this week about hearing the voice of God. Fantastic. Love that. You can do that kind of conversation in the office. And she says, sometimes perhaps it's just recognizing his voice. That there's so many ways that he speaks and wants to speak to us that we're just not recognizing when he's speaking. She says, but he's always speaking, isn't he? I thought this is fantastic to be encouraging a colleague at work. This is a colleague whose daughter has had her leg amputated, completely amputated. And she's only young because of cancer, but she said, but if it hadn't been for God, she'd be dead. She said, lots of people prayed for miraculous healing, but this is where we're at. And her daughter is a beautiful, radiant young lady at 20 years old. Because they prayed, and yet their faith had gone cold, and life had gone on. And then she gets a job in my office. And so does her daughter actually get a job at the town hall, which is rather neat. So you can hear his voice. John 10:3. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Okay? You a sheep?
Yes.
Yes. Bear. Thank you. Good. Amen. John 10:6. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I am not the nation of Israel. But I must bring them also. And they will hear my voice. So that's you. So he says, you're going to hear. Okay? So you are, because he said so. And they will become one flock with one shepherd. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Martin likes quoting that one. He says, if you've got any doubts about it, Jesus says it. My sheep hear my voice. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Why have I put that in? Because if you've got any doubts that you're hearing, then ask, seek, knock, and guess what?
You'll find.
Thank you. Yes. It's going to be there. It's not hidden from you. Yes, seek it, because he wants to see an earnestness of our heart. He wants us to look like we're looking for treasure. So precious is his word. So seek it and keep seeking it and keep asking, but it will be opened. He does not want to hide his word from you. And one thing I just began to see, and it comes on a little later in Matthew 7, and it just struck me when I read through Matthew this time that, you know, we talk about the Sermon on the Mount, we all go, yes, we know that bit because it's the Beatitudes and it's be this and be that. But actually, Jesus doesn't stop speaking until he gets two chapters later, although it wasn't written in chapters, of course. But it's way, you know, the bottom of chapter 7 when he finishes speaking. And all this is part of the same sermon. And when I read it together and began to look at some of the verses together, they changed the way I thought about them to some degree. And he's one of the things he said here in towards the end of chapter 7, he says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and the many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and the few that find it. The narrow way is the one that least appeals to our flesh life. But it's more than just salvation, is what I was beginning to understand. It's about the way we're meant to walk. That every day he speaks to us and offers us a choice, and our flesh goes, oh, but it'd be easier just to stay in bed, or it'd be easier to do this, or it'd be easier to do whatever. And our spirit is saying, do this. Respond in faith. Go and do this. Speak to this person. Pray now for this. Read this verse. Sing in worship. Our spirit's crying out, trying to draw us down this path, and the flesh way is just so easy. It's just so broad, and it's easy to just flop into that one. And we have to make a conscious choice to take the narrow path. But Jesus says, I will lead them out, he says. I will be their shepherd. Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why? Because they keep us on the pathway. Hallelujah. The narrow pathway is the kingdom way. And we need to recognize in our own minds, in that battlefield again, when the flesh is trying to suck us away to the broad path, to where we miss the blessing of God because we hear his voice but think, oh, but this is a bit easier to do this. This is a quicker option. This is an easier option. I'll just do this. I'm too tired to bother. Oh, it's too hard. I don't have faith. Do you know what? If you don't have faith, what? Ask. Ask and it shall be given. Say, Lord, I want to walk that narrow way. Because it leads to the kingdom. It leads us in the kingdom. It is the kingdom. Hallelujah. Quoted this last time I preached. Don't ignore his word. Hebrews 3:7-8. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me, as in the days of trial in the wilderness. You know, if he keeps speaking and we keep shutting it out, we're making it harder to hear. He doesn't stop speaking. It's just harder to recognize when he's speaking because we've not been listening. We've not been believing. Ignoring his word is perilous because our hearts harden. But he does not give up. 2 Timothy 2:13, you've heard me quote this many times. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, because he cannot deny himself. Put your life on a firm foundation. Again, here it is from Matthew 7. This is we could sing this one. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down, and the foolish man built his house on the sand, and it fell flat. I remember singing that when I was about 7 or 8. And here it is in Matthew 7:24-26. And the foundation is the word of God. The foundation is God himself. Do we want to be wise? He says, because he says, those who hear my word and act on them, those who hear my word and act on it, hear and obey, then your life is built on a firm foundation. But if you don't, it'll fall flat. Our brother-in-law was building an extension to his garage while we were away, and I'm talking about mega, it was probably as big as this hall, nearly, extension to his garage, and everything there is on sand. I was a bit concerned that the half of the sandbank he dug out was actually just going to collapse. Made a nice beach for us to enjoy by the lake, I might add, but anyway, that's by the way. But if we listen and act in obedience, then that's where our life is firm and on a rock. So I'm going to whistle through some things now here to try and help you, I hope. These are some things I've shared, and these will be very familiar, I hope, to Anderson and Claudia, because this is built on what Joy Dawson would put down as principles of intercession. And I've just adapted it just a teeny bit to just say, actually, if you want to listen and you want to be sure that you're hearing God's voice, then put yourself in the place where actually everything else is silenced. And then what you hear, act in faith that it's God's voice. So give yourself the best chance to hear. So get before the Lord and start before him with thanksgiving. Quieten your spirit and praise God for who he is. Because actually declaring who he is really helps to build faith to start with. Ask the Lord to search your heart for any unconfessed sin that would hinder you from hearing him. And this could be done in silence. Don't dwell too long at this point, because if nothing comes to your heart immediately, then the Lord's probably not wanting to do anything. It's the enemy that wants to pour condemnation on you, tell you you're not good enough, tell you God won't speak to you. The Holy Spirit is there to bring conviction. And if there's something he wants to deal with, he'll deal with it. And he'll make it clear to you. Psalm 66:18, if I cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to me. Psalm 139:23-24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. He wants us to walk clean. You know, this is not a bad practice to be doing every day and several times, if you like, during the day. Keep a short account with God. Deal with things quickly. Don't wait once a week or once every 3 weeks when you come to communion. Once a month. Boy, you might have a long list to deal with. But if it's part of your daily walk with God, of keeping in short account, guess what? It suddenly gets easier, but you suddenly tune in much quicker to the Holy Spirit actually prompting you. And actually, sometimes you don't even need to ask then. Because when something leaves your mouth that is ungodly or some action is there, bang, the Holy Spirit is there, right there, because you've put yourself in that place. Die to your own imagination, desires and burdens. Proverbs 3:3-5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Promise. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own. So say, Lord, I don't want to lean on my own imagination. I don't want to let my own mind take over in this prayer time, in listening to you, in organizing my day, in figuring out how to do the spreadsheets at work. I don't want to learn from my own head. I want to learn from you. Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in himself is a fool. But he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. I don't want to be a fool. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are always my ways, declares the Lord. Let your mind submit to God. Do it in faith. Go over those scriptures if you have to, but just do it. Submit your mind and imagination to be used by God. And there's the verse that I already quoted in Corinthians about our weapons of our warfare and our mind being taken every thought captive. Admit to God that his thoughts are much higher than yours, and lay down any preconceived ideas of how you should not just pray, but live your day. And that's what I found this week in doing some things. Simple things like buying a birthday card for a colleague. Went out one day, spent 20 minutes in a shop, couldn't find anything. And the next day, the Lord said, go to this shop, turn left, picked a card out like that. He cares. Ask the Lord for protection as you wait on him and take proper authority over the enemy. The enemy wants to mess with your head. He can't hear your thoughts, you know. Satan can't hear your thoughts. Only God knows our mind. But he can sure whisper thoughts into your head, and he likes to. So rebuke the enemy and remind yourself of the authority of Christ. James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Those of you who gather for prayer down here at 9:30 would often hear me pray in this vein before we start the prayer meeting. Because I just do that. It's just what we do. Deal with the enemy and come against him in the all-powerful name of Jesus Christ. and with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Again, you're hearing the word, you're using the word. Praise him in advance and expect him to speak to you, because he's a remarkable God who will do something consistent with his character. Do you have an expectation every day that God wants to speak to you and lead you in something that's really exciting? Or do you say, oh gee, it's Monday morning, back to work? I actually can get excited about what the Lord might open up for me, even at work. And that's when I have conversations with people that are incredibly meaningful and life-changing. Pray with people at work. Encourage people at work. See people at work get healed. See things happen. See politicians change their mind. See things happen. Believe the things that come into your heart and mind as they are submitted to the Lord are coming from him. This is the key, you see. If you put yourself in the right place and you lay down the conditions, then what starts to come into your mind, where else is it coming from? If we've silenced the enemy, if we've submitted our imagination to God, if we've gone before him in openness with seek and ye shall find in our hearts and that kind of attitude, then what we hear, where is it coming from? God. I'm sure there's somebody saying, oh, I find it hard to hear God or whatever. Then put yourself in the place where you can do this. Lay the conditions down. You might see pictures. You might get scriptures. You might get just an impression of something. I tell you, when I went shopping this week on Tuesday, I didn't hear a voice from heaven go, go to Argos now. I'd been to Argos 4 or 5 days already and given up on it. And then one day, I just really felt it was right to go, and there was 50 quid off the thing I wanted to buy. I didn't hear a voice booming from heaven, but it was just that impression. This is the right time to do this. Knowing that that was just the impression that the Lord was with me and actually guiding me, because I had an expectation to do something. Could have bought the same thing 2 days before and wasted 50 quid of the Lord's money. Not that he needs more money. But it's pictures, scriptures, impressions, and in obedience and faith, respond to what he brings to your mind, believing. Again, that John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice and I know them. Keep asking God for direction, expecting to give it to you, and he will. Have an expectancy. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. There's a promise. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He's desperately aching, longing and hungering for us to be in relationship with him. And that relationship is a daily conversation of talking about the things that matter to us and then realizing that actually they're quite small in his sight and then asking him what matters to him. It's seeing things around you in the world that you think, this is far too big for me to influence or change. And the Lord said, just pray right now for this. And let my angels and the power of God and the Holy Spirit pour into that situation. And it will. It isn't something that's meant for just your quiet time in the morning. This is meant to be living, active relationship with him. So that you can walk in faith. And allow your faith to grow. And you say, oh, well, my faith just feels a bit weak. Then say, well, Lord, I want to believe. Help my unbelief. He says it only takes faith the size of a mustard seed. So he says, have you only got little faith? Well, hallelujah, you can still move a mountain. See, our mindset, our mind doesn't want to go there. But if we submit it to God and allow the word of God to come in and take every thought captive to him. Do you know when those things come into you, what that means? Take every thought captive. Those thoughts come in, say, Lord, I don't want to be thinking like that. What has your spirit got to say? What has your word got to say? And do you know when I'm trying to do a word, even this morning I opened up the word again and just more scriptures were just coming. I was putting them in. I thought, I won't have time. I've already gone way over time. And just the word of God just keeps coming and coming and coming. And I could just sit and read the word all day long to you. Because it's the word. That's taking thoughts captive to him again, allowing the word. Sometimes it is directly out of scripture, and sometimes it's just from his heart to you. But be in this place where you enable and open up your heart and mind to the word of God. But do it with an attitude that says, Lord, I want to hear and obey. Because, Lord, I want to be a true worshipper. I want to worship you in spirit and in truth. This is no longer in your own strength. This is no longer in your own ability. This is walking by the Spirit of God every single day of your life. To say, Lord, I want to go beyond that which is my normal life. Today I want to bring the kingdom of God into where I am. Whether that's at home or work or wherever it is you are, walk in the kingdom. And as you walk in the kingdom, you will bring the power and authority of all of heaven to the place where you go. And it will change. And lives will be changed. And people will be rescued. We are on the fringe. Are we going to take the step? Are we going to move that one step over into this? Let's just get a little bit more dangerous here. Let's take those decisions where it isn't all just banked away in my own mind, but it's in faith. That's hard for me. You know, I want everything to be neat and organized. You know, I'm a bit like that, obsessive about get it all neat and tidy. And when it's all in place, then that's when the Lord showed me it must be right then. See? And this time he said, no, Ian, just do this. Just commit to this decision and just do it. And I'm trying to ask the Lord, well, wouldn't it be better, Lord, if all these things were in place, so I was confirming your word to me? And he says, no, just do it. So I've done it. I'm not going to tell you what it is because it doesn't matter. I've done it. And there's a peace in my heart and a gladness. And I know why I've made a move, a step that is different and it's changing my life. There are things I've been doing this week that I would never imagine I would do. Opportunities that have come my way that I wouldn't have imagined. At work, it's just opening, continually, day after day, during the day, all the time. Just things happening. And he's putting challenges before me and saying, you know, if we do this together, Father and Son, we can have such fun with this. I did the craziest thing the other day, because I played the guitar last week and found it quite hard. And I've always fancied doing something different. And the Lord said, well, go and get a saxophone and learn to play the saxophone. So I went and rented one on Friday. And I got it home on Thursday, and squeaked and groaned through it. And yet yesterday morning, when everybody else exited the house in long suffering, I still haven't got the tutor books or anything, so I'm just, can I get a note out of this? And I actually played Ride On, Ride On in Majesty. I only did it once because I didn't know what I did. Simple tune, it's only a simple few notes. But the Lord said, see, it can be fun if we do it together. See, it isn't about me trying to be clever with a musical instrument. It's about me taking joy in him and him taking joy in me and doing something together. Something as simple as blowing into a musical instrument. Isn't that fun? Your life could be filled with joy and gladness and faith and peace by walking in steps of obedience. Don't think it has to be these massive great things that go and pray for that person to be healed or raise that person from the dead or something like that. It can be as simple as buy that birthday card because that's the one that will bless that person. How about do something new, something you've never done before, something that will challenge you. And if you don't do it with me, it will be a complete disaster. But if we do it together, it will be so much fun. Do you want to have fun with your Father? Do you want to take delight in him and feel his delight upon you? Then listen to what he says and determine in your heart today that you will act upon it. Lord, we want to bless you and thank you, Lord, for your word. It is precious. It is life-changing. It is mighty. And Lord, we want to live in a way that is honoring and pleasing to you, that will build your kingdom here in this place. That, Lord, we want to see the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the captive set free, and many souls, Lord, redeemed and brought into your kingdom, because that's your desire. It is that your desire that all would be saved and that none would perish. Lord, come into our lives afresh by the power of your Spirit from this day. Give us a new determination to follow you. For your glory, we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.